Karen, could I invite you to come up this morning? This morning is Prayer Sunday. And as I've shared with you before, all the Prayer Sundays now for this year as we go into them, I'm going to be asking individuals from the congregation to come and share a 10 or 15 minute message. And I asked Karen a couple of months ago, and she prayed into it and said, yes, I am open for the Lord to use me to share. And so, do you want to use that one, Karen, or do you want to use this one? They're too shaky for that? Praise the Lord. So you need God this morning. Is that what I'm hearing? All the time. That's good. Would you bow with me this morning, Father? I just want to thank you again. Lord, I just think back how many years ago you captured your daughter's heart. You began her on a journey of being set free of those things that the enemy has stolen over the years, and you have brought her into a place of freedom, a place of revelation, being transformed, Father, a place I don't know that she even imagined possible. God, she hasn't arrived yet. None of us have. But I want to thank you for your faithfulness in the journey, and I want to thank you for what you have been doing in these days, what you have been showing, speaking. I want to thank you, Lord, not only in the area of spiritual, but, Father, in the area of physical, you have done a powerful work in her life. And today, as she shares what you have laid upon her heart, I just pray that you give her freedom. I pray that you'd remind her again, Holy Spirit, it is you speaking through her. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this place. I declare it to be holy ground. I ask, Father, that you would open up every heart and every mind and make us receptive to the words you are wanting to speak through Karen this morning. And by faith, we say thank you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, Karen.
Thank you. Wow, even my legs are shaking. God is good. When Colin asked me to speak, the Lord told me right away what I was going to speak, and I tried to put it somewhere else, and he said, no, this is what you're sharing. So what he wants me to share today is my healing. And the only way I know to do that is to share step by step my journey. I'll probably read most of it because I don't want to miss anything of this incredible, amazing, and beautiful journey God took me on. Man, not already. We find healing verses all through Scripture. We've been taught many times about healing. And I often wondered, what would I do? What would I do if I ever received an evil report? I believe God heals, and I've heard healing testimony, but what if it was me? Would I have enough faith to believe for me? This past year and a half, God has given me opportunity to find out. In June of 2024, I went for a colonoscopy, and they found three polyps. They removed them, and one had precancer cells. So I scheduled for another colonoscopy in November, a year ago. That test revealed a polyp too large for the doctor to remove. So he referred me to a doctor at the U of A who had better equipment and more experience. At some point during this time, I called Pastor Colin, full of fear, scared. And I was upset. I don't remember the conversation at all. But I remember when I hung up, I can still see me in my kitchen. And I made a choice that I would not be in fear. Every time fear rose up, I would give it to Jesus. This was a turning point for me in this whole process. I looked up and read scripture on fear. Psalm 34:4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid. I got out my Charles Capps booklet and started voicing and believing the declarations in scripture for my healing. By his stripes I was healed. I read the gospels where Jesus healed everyone he encountered and then some. I believed. And I knew this disease wasn't mine. It took several months to get that appointment at the U of A. Finally, on April 3rd, I went in for the procedure. It was now being called a mass in my colon. During those months of waiting, my quiet moments with the Lord, he said to me what he always says, I've got you. I believed I had no cancer. I believed in my healing. I believed Jesus took all my sickness and disease on the cross. I knew I had to act on that belief and live it out. I would not give fear place. The doctor came in the room and he said, "Well, let's see if we can get this thing out." And I said, "I believe you will." When I woke up only 20 minutes later, I knew something wasn't right. And he came to my bed, the doctor, and he said the mass was too big to remove and I'd need surgery. So he referred me back to the surgeon in Camrose. In my mind, I'm saying, "What? Lord, I believed. What's going on?" And he replied, "Trust me." He said, "We're in this together." In those few moments, he told me to look back and remember. There's a verse in John 14 that says, "The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said and taught." And I went back, and just in those few moments, still in my bed in that room in the hospital, he took me all the way back to when he first found me. And all those moments along the way to today where he was there, where he brought me through the hardest, darkest times. He brought me through all of that in just those few short moments. And I had a peace. I had this peace like I had never known. I've known peace before, but not like that. I knew I was going to be okay. The following week, I met with a surgeon in Camrose, and surgery was scheduled for May 21st, as I had a trip planned the first part of May. Wrapping up work and preparing for the trip took most of my time, so I never really had time to think about the surgery, except that I didn't want it. I met with the anesthesiologist to plan the medicine he would use, and one of the many blessings through this was that he was a believer. And when the meeting was ended, he said, "If I had any questions for him," and I said, "Yes, will you pray for me while I'm under?" And he said, "Absolutely." The surgery went as expected, and I was recovering well. I had many visitors. People prayed over me. It was going as expected. And while I was recovering, the Lord showed me how he had responded to my prayer that angels be in the operating room with me. And he showed me a picture of these, not like I would picture an angel, but there were these giant angels, or two of them, one at each end of my bed, and they were at least 7 foot tall, and they had full armor, and they were my protectors. It was not what I imagined, but it was sort of incredible that God gave me that picture. Dr. Russell, the anesthesiologist, came to visit me, and I told him about the angels, and he said they were there for me too. I was released to go home on the seventh day, and 2 days later I was readmitted with some complication. Many tests were done, CT scan, endoscopy, etc. And it was concluded that it was a side effect of the anesthetic. While I was in the hospital, the doctor came and he gave me the results of what the surgery showed. They removed most of my sigmoid colon, and enough so that the edges tested clear. But because lymph nodes were involved, the protocol was to refer me to the Cross Cancer Institute and an oncologist there. He said, "You have cancer, you need chemo." Psalm 56:3. "But when I am afraid, who do I seek? No fear, I believe." My appointment with the oncologist at the Cross was scheduled for June 26th. Pastor Colin came with me. I didn't know what to expect, and I was on my guard because I knew I didn't want chemo. It was a long appointment. She said I had stage 3 colon cancer, and I would need chemo. And she went on to name the chemo drugs that they would put me on, and that I could have chemo here in Camrose. She wanted my decision about the chemo within a week. She also informed me that the CT scan done while I was in the hospital showed a nodule on my right lung. And they didn't know what it was. They needed to do a PET scan to find out, to make sure that it hadn't spread. After that meeting, Pastor Colin and I had a debrief meeting, which helped me so much because it erased all the negative words spoken over me, and we focused on the positive. I let the doctor know I'd give her my answer about the chemo results after the results of the PET scan. Deuteronomy 3:1-6, do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The scan was scheduled for August 8th at the cross. They would scan my chest and my abdomen. To do the test, they inject a radioactive dye into your arm, and it lights up the areas that are not normal. Boy, I really sought the Lord on this because I knew the damage that would do in my system. I also knew that God could prevent any damage. He could block it. After much prayer, I believed I was to go ahead, not because I needed to see the results, but because I wanted the doctors to see what I proclaimed and believed, that by his stripes I was healed. I will not fear. I began to do some research into alternative methods for healing. I found several sites. One called Conquering Cancer was recommended to me, and there I was able to listen to several healing testimonies. And I received 3 one-hour counseling sessions from a lady who had survived cancer and been cancer-free for years, and she was also a believer. We had some awesome moments in those three one-hour sessions. I also, through this site, found a site called Chris Beat Cancer. It was created by Chris Wark, who had the same surgery and the same diagnosis as I did. He has been cancer-free since 2011. In his book, Chris Beat Cancer, he shares the research that proves what is found in our food and other products that are cancer-causing. He also shares research on non-traditional ways to heal and prevent cancer. It's all about clean eating, clean living, detoxifying your life. He gives a list of habits to beat cancer daily. I'm going to name them. Eat 10 plus servings of vegetables and fruit a day. Juicing, exercise, spend time in the Bible. Spend time in prayer and meditation. Give your fears and worries to God. Practice gratitude. Choose to think positive. Forgive everyone who has ever hurt you or harmed you. Forgive new offenses quickly. Get 8 or more hours of sleep each night. I decided to follow his program. I changed my diet drastically and bought his cookbooks and other books that he wrote. Believing God had healed me, I was putting action to my faith. I found this definition of faith that it fit. Trusting God when it is really hard, taking action when you feel paralyzed, moving forward in spite of fear, stepping out of your comfort zone and into the unknown. I was all in. I also started biofeedback treatments at a clinic in Red Deer, taking supplements and vitamins. Carol, who was treating me, was also a believer and prayed for me. She could see all that was going on in my body and was determined to get me well with prayer and treatment. Interestingly, she saw that I was very sensory, and she told my daughter-in-law, who was with me, that I needed to be hugged every day. So I get all my hugs here, but I give you permission. If you see me on the street or in the store or wherever, I give you permission to come and hug me. This new lifestyle was a lot of work and a big change, but I believe that God led me to this guy, Chris Wark. As I leaned into Jesus, what began as a journey to healing also became a journey of growth in trusting and believing and faith. I felt God saying that this was a journey just for me and him, where I was to focus and to seek him more than to seek healing. I dove deep into Jesus and into my Father. I experienced him. It's what he meant for me to do in his words to me in that hospital room when he said, trust me. The closeness I felt with him was a new kind of closeness. One day he gave me a song in tongues to sing to him. I was sitting on my couch. And he gave me this song, and it was a lot of words, and I'm singing this song in tongues. I didn't know what I was saying, but he did. And we had this spirit-to-spirit connection that was so beautiful. Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13 says, then when you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do not fear, believe. Do not fear, believe. My next appointment at the cross was September 2nd, and I was expecting to do battle with my choice not to do chemo. I brought Pastor Colin along for support. And here's what she said. The PET scan did not light up anything in the lung or the abdomen. You are cancer-free and never need to see me again. Praise God. I believed and I'm healed. Some nuggets I found along the way. The shepherd still speaks in a tone that only trust can hear. Faith is not a feeling, it's an act of resistance. It's not a moment of belief, but a lifestyle of resting under the unseen wing of God. The faithful have never needed to see the way, only to follow the one who made it. The shepherd gives enough to stand, enough to walk, and enough to keep believing. And I'm just going to end with two of my favorite verses, just because. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and rescue you. And Psalm 37:23, my all-time favorite, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Thank you, Jesus.
Karen, come on back here for a second. Isn't that a beautiful testimony? You touched on so many things, and man, that was just awesome. I would like you to pray into one thing.
Yeah.
You kept going between fear and faith. And I remember that conversation when we were talking about that, and you got off the phone, and you made a decision and said, I refuse to fear. That was a life-changing decision. And then you said, Lord, increase my faith. That battle is real in all of us. It may not be cancer, but I'll tell you, there's a pile of other things where the enemy of fear wants to come in. And the choice we have is either to give in to that fear or resist it and walk in that faith. I would like you to pray over us today. We have no idea where every one of us are at, but that is a battle that is real in all of our lives. So would you bow this morning if this is speaking to you, if fear is something that has gripped itself to you like barnacles and just holds on, and you find yourself being led by fear more than you are led by faith. I just want to say to you today, faith comes by hearing. So Karen, would you pray?
Okay. Lord, we all know fear isn't from you. And I pray that we can all, when fear comes, give it back to you. Because that's not how you want us to live. Satan will try. He knows every button to push in our lives to try to get us to give in to fear. And we can take every thought captive. Romans says that. And then the peace comes. So Lord, I pray for every single one here who's living in fear. Let them know that looking at you overcomes fear. Seeking you overcomes fear. Knowing you overcomes fear. Trusting you overcomes fear. And Lord, resting in you, taking the time to just sit with you and maybe receive a song in tongues. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that for everyone here, that you, whatever will speak to them, you will come to them, and in their moment of fear, you will give them something else that will speak faith, that will speak trust, and that will cause them to feel your presence and your blanket of love around them. And And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to share one thing. When Karen and I were up with Cross Cancer, it was really interesting because she went through the test, and the test came back clear, and the one doctor said, you know, it's great, but because you've had it, you have a 50-50. 50% you could be healed, 50% you may not be, and so we want to press you through with chemo and radiation. And Karen, we talked about it after again, and Karen said, no, I've chosen to go a different route, and the doctor was respectful. I was surprised by that. She was a good salesman, but not good enough. There was a couple other tests they wanted to do, and we went back, and we went back to see the other doctor. He was a man doctor. And we sat in the office, and he got called out, and we were sitting there, and we were waiting a half hour. And like, if you're not coming today, we're going. We'll come back later. And he ended up coming back in, and he came back into the room, and he looks at Karen, and he says, well, he says, I've looked at all the tests and I've looked at everything. He goes, your blood is clear, your lungs are clear, your body is clear, your stomach is clear, your colon is clear. He goes, you got nothing, girl. And he said, you don't need to see me ever again. And I'll tell you, he was excited because I don't know how often he says that to patients. It was powerful. In that moment, it was powerful, and it all confirmed what the Lord had spoken to Karen, the decisions she has made. You went against the pharmaceutical flow.
Do you remember the pharmacy people?
I do remember the pharmacy people. I do. They didn't like you.
No.
Oh, I'm shocked by that. But I want to say bless you, Karen.
Thank you.
You made some life-changing decisions. And the growth in you through this process, not just healing, the healing is wonderful, but the growth and the maturity. Like you said, you're walking in a peace you've never known.
Yeah.
And he is faithful.
Yes.
Didn't she do an awesome job this morning? Isn't that beautiful?
Super.
Wow. That's the kind of good news you get when you turn your TV on or watch the news, isn't it?
Oh. I know how to turn it off.
That's what the church is about. This morning, before we enter into our prayer time, and we're going to be praying about some of the things Karen talked about today, we are going to receive communion. Let me share with you how that's going to happen. The praise team, we're going to sing a couple songs. And when we are doing that, I want to invite you. We're not going to have servers at the front. I want to invite you to come to the front just to receive the body and the blood. Receive it, put it back down, and then leave. And just do that fairly quickly so that everybody who wants communion can come up and receive it. I believe this morning that we need to receive before we enter into spiritual warfare. We are going to warfare today. We're going to do that. And there is nothing that prepares us more than that, than to enter into the blood and the body, the finished work of Christ, so that we are covered and we are prepared. Would you bow with me for a moment before we begin? Father, I want to say thank you again. As Jesus sat with his disciples in that upper room and as they were receiving and celebrating the Passover, the greatest deliverance the Israelites had ever known from Egypt, 7 million walking out, healed, completely strong, not one sick or weak, and slavery was broken off of their life. Lord, no wonder you told them, remember, every year you celebrate the Passover, every year you don't let anybody forget, every year you celebrate and you remember. Right up until the ultimate deliverance came. And Jesus, long before your disciples even understood it, you took the bread and you broke it. And you said, this is my body, broken for you. And you took the cup, and when you blessed it, you gave it to your disciples and said, this cup is now the new covenant of my blood. shed for the forgiveness of all of your sin. Drink it believing and remembering. That night, the Passover was no longer the greatest deliverance. That night, the new covenant was established. And for those who believe, we will receive until our feet lift off the ground and we see him face to face. I would like you this morning to take a quiet moment. All I would like you to do is just thank the Father for what he has done. Thank him for where he found you. Thank him for the promises that have been kept. Thank him for bringing you to where you are today, and thank him that one day you will see him face to face and live eternity with him. As we come this morning and receive, those of us who know him come with the greatest sacrifice that God requires, and that is thanksgiving. Would you take a moment and prepare your heart? In a moment, I'll release you. Would you stand and receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which you have now received, may it strengthen you. May it keep you. May it heal you. And may it remind you until we see him face to face, transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.